And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything
awful, awful.
That's on their mind, so they
What's
have
awful?
An extra
you, you're
one,
awful.
And that's how
you
we
suck.
Get the podcast.
The podcast, the podcast.
Big D and Bubba podcast,
the podcast,
the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Where podcasts
Big
come
D
from.
Big D and Bubba podcast.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So real quick, I do want to remind those who were looking for the Garth Brooks interview, we're going to put that with Carson's very uncomfortable. We're going to discuss all this. Carson's very uncomfortable, fun interview with Garth Brooks live from the 50-yard line right there where the Cowboys play coming up at the end of the podcast. So a little bonus feature for you. Before we dive too far into it, try the new Autumn Carved Turkey Sandwich at Subway. If you do anything today, that's what we need you, want you, must have you do.
Killer Gotta have bees. You. Gotta have
really?
You.
Really?
Yes, it's a special.
Gotta have you.
It is a special thing for this time of year. Obviously, it's the autumn carved turkey sandwich. It's delicious. It's got oven roasted, thick cut carved turkey. It's not like the thin slice. It's
right.
Thick cut. It's no artificial preservatives.
Call it Big D and Bubba
flavors.
Cut.
That's what they should do. Got the sweet cranberry thing, like the sauce.
Yeah.
Sweet cranberry sauce. It's like this mustard sauce.
It's like Thanksgiving dinner.
It really is.
Bezos. I love Bezos. Like he gets so.
Bezos.
He gives you that whole,
Like he does care.
Yeah.
He's very Garth
You were
Brooks.
Invested in
He's
this.
Invested,
Very
man.
Garth Brooks like.
So it's like
sweet
Thanksgiving
cranberry
dinner.
Mustard sauce, sliced cheddar cheese, all on freshly baked 9-grain wheat bread. Count
nothing
on all
smells,
the grains.
Nothing smells better than walking in Subway.
Yes, you're right.
True.
So get to Subway for the thick-cut autumn-carved turkey sandwich today.
Thank you, Killer. Killer Bees is our guest on the podcast today. He is...
I rub Carson's back.
He is at my 1 o'clock. At my 3 o'clock, 2:30 maybe, is Patrick. He's sitting in a very small, low seat. Looks like the seat that the kids sat in Thanksgiving. And Carson's over there at my 11, and Bubba's at my 9.
Yo.
8, 10.
But 10. I got your 6.
Hey. Boom! Hey.
Yeah, you do.
There,
baby. Yeah, you do. Let's just kind of barrel on into things quickly. The big event this week, obviously, had to be Garth Brooks being on the show, and the
Sorry,
surprise
killer.
Was not
Killer Bees.
Oh, look on his
Killer
face.
Bees was on the show
he's,
as well.
He's literally sitting here. My God.
The true star of the week was Garth, obviously, who was on the show. Not to be mistaken Aww. For Killer Bees, who was on the show.
Who was not the true star.
No.
Obviously.
No. Well, we do love you, but know your place.
I'm going to test something. Somebody's saying they can't hear us, turning it
not
up.
The true star.
Oh, yeah, I definitely hear it. Okay, yeah.
Monday? Monday is when it was. No, yeah, it was Monday when we told... Carson, that
yes.
she was going to Dallas to hang out with Garth.
Mm-hmm.
There was a poem that Patrick wrote out, and
it was a sweet moment.
It was a really
inside
cool
the card, just saying how great and thankful and awesome Carson is. You know, thanks for being a part of our family.
It was that was so nice on its own, right?
Wow,
I
yeah.
was like, oh my gosh,
he gave me a card.
And then I read the poem.
Yes,
and.
Oh, have you not heard that?
I have not heard
oh,
it.
No.
Oh,
no.
You got the little wow. clip there, Bubba, Carson?
I don't, actually.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, she...
I would love if y'all relive that moment. It seems poignant, yet... It seems poignant, yet cool.
It was great. She was standing very close to where she is right now, and she's reading...
Oh, I do have it! Hold on. This is the moment she realized she was going to. Well, Big D set up this.
Okay, so it's a poem that Patrick wrote, and it says, "Hey, we love you. You're great. Blah blah blah. Have some clothes ready to go. We're sending you on a trip.
Pack it. Something.
Yeah.
Something.
It was
looks.
Something about I need some new looks.
And
yes.
so far up to then, you might have been getting fired. You weren't sure exactly.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, pack your stuff.
Pick out some outfits. You're gonna need all the right looks because on
sure.
Thursday you're going to AT&T Stadium to interview
Garth Brooks.
Oh! And she did that.
Oh, I thought that was you.
No. That-
Thank you.
Yes, bees.
Thanks.
That
fair,
was very nice.
Fair.
Yeah. Okay. Good job.
She's a huge Garth Brooks fan.
Yeah.
huge.
Well, yeah. Now.
Yeah.
So what happened behind the scenes with you and Garth?
Because I
saw a picture on Twitter.
I looked
smitten.
I was a disaster.
Awesome. That's what we look for.
Oh, my favorite is, can we get Amber in here to tell the story of what she did? What Carson did when she met Carl.
Yeah, like, go get her.
Yeah, so I'll set it up while they're going to get her because she explains what I did because this woman was witness to all of it. I did not eat all day because, well, what if I have to go meet Garth and suddenly I need to use the restroom or I vomit on him? I don't know what's going to happen.
Or
so.
What if I want to go cannibal and actually devour Garth? I want room
that
for
that.
That
could happen.
You know, I might have gone Walking Dead. It could have been a thing. But so I have had nothing to eat and everything in my mind is just, it's like, what am I going to wear? Because Garth, I don't know.
Might propose. You don't want the proposal pictures looking weird.
Sure. You know, my hair has to be perfect because I don't want Garth to think I'm that girl with the bad hair.
Yeah, yeah. Let him mess your hair up, not show up with it messed up. Right.
So I believe we have.
Yeah, Amber doesn't want to be on camera.
No camera. Okay, no camera. Amber, okay. Go ahead.
We'll put it on
Big D for a moment.
Oh, my God. Okay. Have you seen the video of me losing my mind?
So now, I'm going to turn here, scoot over a little more that way.
Okay. So Wednesday night before the interview, you're at this private party, and Garth's there, and you're waiting to meet him. Please tell us your version of what happened when Carson met Garth.
So I thought that Carson was going to get up to Garth.
Cool.
And like tell him like your music has changed my life and it's the reason I'm in Nashville and like just spill her entire heart to him. And so I go up and I take a picture with Garth and I turned around to get my phone from Billy who is standing directly behind me. And Carson walks up right after me. By the time I turn back around to like take pictures of Carson with Garth, Carson is literally already running away.
Running away or walking away?
No, like running. I've never seen someone in heels move so quickly.
Wow.
I swear to you. She booked it. She was done. So I finally came up to her. I was like, I didn't get any pictures of you. And she's like, I know, bad friend. Like, you're a bad friend. I was like, how long did you talk to him? Like, 3.5 seconds?
Did you just hand him a note?
I just run away.
Is that it?
Yeah. I like you. Do you like me? Check yes or no.
It was a George Strait song.
I'm dead serious. The interaction could not have been more than, hi, I'm Carson. Please take this picture with me. Like,
and I think we mentioned it on the show on Thursday, but when I got up and I introduced myself to Garth and said, hi, I'm Carson. And he's like, well, nice, in his lovely Garth way. It's nice to meet you, Carson, with that genuine smile that makes you think he
That was just for you.
Yeah, he loves me. It's fun. And so we go to get cozied up next to each other, and he looks at me and says, so, do you want to write another poem to send back to the guys? Meaning
that's when you knew he's seen the video.
He has seen the video.
Wow.
And then Carson
died. Video.
Oh, so I double over and put my hands over my face in horror. And I go, oh, my God, you saw the video.
And then she runs away.
And then I look at him. And I say to him, well, thank you for letting me come anyway. And he grabs me in like this hug and he goes, are you kidding? I'm so in love with you right now. And if you look at the picture, it's not the most flattering photo I've ever taken. I'm like hunched over, but it's because I am squished and encircled in the arms of Garth Brooks. And you have never seen a woman so happy in photos.
Dude, that was the perfect time to fake a seizure. Right there. I mean,
I need
sell
you to
it
be with
too.
Me everywhere
yeah,
for this.
He could have been your first responder.
CPR.
Yeah.
That's
oh, my
awful.
Gosh.
But yeah, and so we took it, and I was just, so we took the picture, and I'm like, okay, thank you. And I'm like out the door.
What I thought was great, though, is the fact that, like, it was the most, like, everybody always says in pictures, you smile with your eyes, and that is the truth. I have never seen it more evident than in the picture that she took with Garth.
Yes, absolutely.
You could not, it was like little smiles, little smiling eyes.
Yes, it was so great.
And so then you ran while he was still holding the glass slipper.
Basically.
Right before you got to try it on.
It was
Carson, you know, he does have a song called It's Midnight Cinderella. Nice throwback there.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Carson definitely valued Garth Brooks' time more than Garth valued his time. Yeah. Like, Garth wanted to continue to talk to Carson. She was like, no, it's not a big deal. Like, it's totally okay because, like, you have other people to talk to. Sorry, I'm just going to go now. Like,
were you doing that, really?
Not you.
Yeah, pretty much. I did.
So is there nothing that can be done to reunite you two?
Well then
very next day.
I got to talk to him the next day.
Yeah, there's more.
She is so disgusted with this conversation.
The next day, Garth walks up to her on the 50-yard line at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, you know, where Tony Romo tripped. Right there, Garth then starts talking about what she was wearing the night before.
Yeah.
Now, all of 15 seconds the previous night, Garth remembered the blue dress, the
ruffle.
Shoes.
Oh, he mentioned the ruffle on the dress. He mentioned the shoes. He might have mentioned I was gorgeous. I think that's what he said.
The sultry look.
Sure.
The smiling eyes.
Yeah. But when he walked in the stadium, he actually walked by me and gave me a high five. And Amber hadn't arrived yet. So she shows up. And I tell her, yeah, Garth came in. I think he gave me a high five, but I'm not really sure because I didn't look at him.
Yeah. You high fived him without making eye contact.
I was afraid that if I look at him too much, like, he's going to know I'm a creeper. No, he already knows. He saw the video, genius. He knows you're insane.
My favorite comment of the whole week is Carson going, he high fived me. I didn't make eye contact with him. So we're basically in like a second grade relationship.
Yeah.
What did somebody say on Twitter, Big D, or text message about the high five?
They said, I think that's like first base.
Second grade, first base.
Yeah, so and then he had to come over to do the interview with me. And mind you, after I had basically did a dine and dash with Garth the night before, all of like his people, everybody associated with him, came up to me and said, we saw the video, we loved it. They think, oh, you're so cute, blah, blah, blah. And so he's working his way. There's a bunch of other radio people. He's working his way down. I'm talking to them, and I keep getting softer. I'm like, oh, my God, Garth is coming. Garth is coming. I'm not. It's not a joke. I was doing
true.
It. But then.
Hang on. I got to get this. Hello. Oh, Trisha. Hi, darling. She is right here. Yes, she is. I'll tell her. She says, cut that hand off.
My goal right now is not to get Garth Brooks in the studio. It's to get Trisha in the studio so she can shoot dirty looks at Carson. That is my goal.
I think Trisha is
in life.
Very secure in her relationship with the man who
refers
we to
show her
all
these
as
videos.
A queen. Yeah.
Do you think he high fives her on the 50-yard line? Probably not, baby.
It was special. But
all I could see is him high-fiving her in like an intimate setting.
And she refuses to, make eye contact.
Baby, let's lay down and dance. I don't remember where I was going with this whole insanity of mine, but...
Garth is getting closer.
Oh, yeah. I was like, he's getting closer. Well, so I was saying all the people that are like with Garth, like the Garth-tourage or whatever.
The Garth-tourage?
Yeah, I don't know what to call them.
I don't think Big D and Bubba know this.
It's called
Carson
the wedding
was telling me
party.
This.
It's his best men.
Like the president of his new record label and all these people, he did all these interviews. They were just off in the distance doing their own thing. And then when he got close to Carson, they all start gathering.
They
all want to see. They all want to see if she freaks out or faints or whatever.
Has a stroke. You saw the pack assembling.
You're in the inner circle.
Well, here my thought, occasionally one would lean over. Are you getting excited?
Oh my God.
Are you so excited?
Yeah, they're all in.
And so then it's this herd of these Garth people that are waiting for him
would that be a GERD?
Yes, a GERD. And they all stand there and they're just waiting for it to unfold. And I was like, either I'm totally flattered that they're excited to see how I interact with this man, or they're waiting to tackle me in case things go south.
That could have been pretty exciting.
So Amber videotaped the whole thing for us, which was great. But what Carson doesn't know is that Amber's real job was to stand there and watch to see if the one side of Carson's face started drooping. It's like, you need to be, because Garth's not going to notice. If she starts having a stroke,
he's going to be nice and
he's gonna be
not
like,
mention it.
No, you need to jump right in there.
Take care of it.
And make sure we,
I was trying to video it and like keep the camera steady and whatnot, but I couldn't stop laughing because Carson was getting so flustered. And so in the video, you see Carson just like, and then you see the camera like bouncing. Because like I'm trying to hold footage. In my laughter. I'm trying to hold in my laughter, and she was getting so emotional. And I was like, while holding the camera. You can probably hear me giggling.
Yeah,
poor Carson. Look at her. Look how red.
Poor me. Did I meet Garth Brooks? Does he know of my insane fandom? Yes, my life's work is complete.
And what I told you this morning is true. With Garth's memory, he will never forget that. When he sees you from now on, you're that girl.
I appreciate that you ever think I will see him again.
Have you checked your emails? Because you will probably get one from his insurance agent to put you on his policy. That's his next step.
Or the restraining order, whatever. Or the restraining
order. Potato, potato. Yeah. Same thing.
So that was the highlight.
But yes, no doubt. But the other thing we did discuss was, so they had this huge, like, picture of Garth at everybody's little station thing, and Garth was going to personalize it to you afterwards. And
like,
so,
it's a sign that Garth would... It was, like, set up so he knew who you were, or was it just a picture of him?
It was a picture of him, and then they put a Sharpie there at every table for him to pick up and write, like, to so-and-so, whether it was, you know, whoever
like
he's talking to.
Like, to Killer Bees.
Yeah, or do we want to do it to the station, or there were people who actually had it for charities. They're better than I am.
They are better than you on this one.
So they come around to me and they say, so do you want it signed to Big D and Bubba or to Carson? I'm like, yeah, that's going to be Carson. Executive decision. Yeah. And so he signs it and he writes to Carson, love you, love you, love you. God bless Garth Brooks.
Now, that's three love yous.
Three.
Yes, that's triplicate.
So I think
how many love yous? Because didn't you go around and check everybody's?
I checked everybody else, and like nobody else got love you, love you, love you. I'm
Did anybody else get a love you at all?
I think it was like love Garth Brooks.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah, it's not totally even close. Different.
And yeah. There was a couple God blesses.
Yeah, I got it in triplicate. That's what I'm telling
you.
So now,
love you, love you,
and
love you.
I also then pocketed the Sharpie that he used to sign
you
it.
You did not.
It's she in
did.
My purse right
you
now.
Stole
you want to see
Sharpie.
The Garth Sharpie?
The Garth Sharpie.
The Garth
Sharpie. Garthy?
This is why Carson's going to be single for a little while longer, because she's going to be on first dates and she's going to awkwardly go, you want to see the Sharpie, Garth Brooks? You want to see it? I have it in my purse.
My is only it? Reply to that was, well, thank God he didn't leave a water bottle there.
Oh, my God.
I would Jurassic Park that. Are you joking?
We've had, like, when Luke Bryan was in the other day, he had a water bottle sitting on the counter. And it's always the same question. What do we do with this? Because we always wonder, you know, do we put this on eBay?
No.
I know.
Do you know,
a
friend of mine
we
who
could make
has...
a killing off of water bottles alone.
One of my friends who has an obsession with Luke Bryan watched the interview and said, what did you guys do with that water bottle? Did you save it for
God.
Me?
Are you serious?
Oh my God.
I can show you her text.
You could have swabbed it and sent it to the DNA people and found out where his ancestors are from.
We could have.
We could have
cloned him.
Yeah. Yes.
Again, I'm all about the Jurassic Park science.
Jeez. So is that Garth stand-up laying in your bed right now?
It's being shipped to me, which I hated to part with because I'm afraid of, like, what if it doesn't get there? What if for some reason, these people know what they're doing. They are not bad at their jobs.
They're
it will
not
get
rookies.
Here. But then it was, okay, but I could get it on the plane. Like, I could just sit it next to me
but
because nothing
she,
would be-
it, okay, guys, this thing was massive. It was huge.
Well, it was on the 50-yard line.
Feet.
Oh,
yeah.
That's the sign.
The sign.
Yeah,
the sign. It was like 3x3 at
event.
Least. It was massive, and Carson was like, I mean, I guess I could probably take it on the plane so they don't have to ship it.
Big D has done that before. We had a studio sign that we had. Remember, you carried this 3.5-foot long Big D and Bubba sign on an airplane one time.
Yeah, I thought that would be suitable to sit next to me on a plane. I'm sure
it's almost as tall as you.
It's massive.
So, oh my God, that is enormous.
That's how Grandma died. Sorry. I had to get one in. Every
and she
now
was
and then.
So serious when she said, like, oh, I'll just take it on the plane with me. That'll be okay.
Okay,
no.
So wing fell off. You could stick it out the wing.
Got the plane.
So, Killer,
you were, did you work with Garth Brooks? You did a TV show where y'all were the only two guests, right?
Well, the very last Crook and Chase show ever, we were the two guests on there.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So, it did wonders for him. So, how'd that work?
He didn't write, "I love you, I love you, I love you" on anything for me. He just goes, "Oh, okay."
So where was he in his career at the time?
Retiring again.
Oh, really?
One of those retirement times.
Okay.
Yeah, so didn't last.
Did you believe him?
Did not.
Did you believe him?
No.
Okay.
Now, Lorianne Crook goes, "He's not retiring. He's taking a break. He is not retiring."
He took a long break.
He took a very long break. What was it, 15, 12?
14 years between tours.
We saw the video like 8 times. It said 14 years later.
Also, Carson has been counting the days.
But he was great. He high-fived me, and I looked him dead in the eye. And he did that.
All right, good.
He borrowed my Sharpie, kept it.
Maybe I have your Sharpie in my purse.
Did they have like a little felt tip in it?
Oh, my gosh. Maybe. Look at that.
Okay.
See?
You keep it. You keep that Sharpie, baby.
Carson has seen Garth 20 times.
I've seen at least 20 times. So there you go.
So there's that.
Well, you know, sing all of Garth's songs, and I can recite most of these jokes.
The interesting thing is Patrick's seen Killer Bees almost 20 times around that area.
Oh,
and
at least.
Bees gave you a job.
That's true.
What is Garth doing for you?
Well, I...
You got a sign.
Let's put it out there in the universe. Garth, give me a job.
Don't limit yourself to just a job.
Hold
baby.
On. I love you guys and all, but like, let's be honest. Garth comes a knocking. Spot.
And I wouldn't blame you.
I wouldn't blame you either. Oh.
Amazingly enough, I don't think he wants psychopaths working for him.
Well, he's not looking for a work relationship, Carson.
Uh oh.
He looked deep into your smiling eyeballs. Bosses don't do that.
Or he looked deep in my eyes and said, "Oh my gosh, the terror is real."
Okay, so why? But I found it interesting. Like, I can't put me on the camera because, I can't show somebody. Because
the great Ambino is here.
Oh, that's
listen,
right.
I look rough today, guys.
It was interesting because,
have you seen this?
It was interesting because he wasn't just looking at you. He was leaning over the table, like trying to smell your breath close.
He was gazing longingly.
It was very interesting. Watching the video, it's like...
Which I have not watched.
He was all up in your stuff.
Oh, my God.
Have you watched it yet? Have you?
Yes.
Have you uploaded it somewhere?
Because it's magical. It's on YouTube.
Right? It's on YouTube now. If you want to see it, it's fantastic.
And for those of you watching the live podcast on Facebook, wait until after, and then you can go and look because we've got it on here as well. It's crazy into you he was. And I mean, I'm not saying he's into you like romantically, but he thought you hung the moon.
Oh, yeah.
He had a good time.
And the weird part is the crestfallen look on his face when you would not acknowledge his high five. I mean, it's like, bless his heart.
Do you guys have anybody like that? I'm trying to think if there's an artist that I'm that weird over.
I'm not weird about that with artists. Big D and I were hanging out in Key West with, it was Kenny Chesney, Peyton Manning, who is also another one of Carson's loves.
Oh, I have to interrupt this really quickly. Garth is doing a press conference yesterday, and he mentioned Peyton in the press conference, and my worlds collided, and I about exploded.
Jeez. So it was us. John Gruden was with us. Dale Earnhardt Jr. was with us.
Yeah. It was a cool party.
And all of these great names, and you know who I freaked out over? Sean Payton, the head coach of the Saints. I'm like, I couldn't, because I've been a Saints fan my entire life. I grew up, that's life.
Is this before Super Bowl or after?
This was before the Super Bowl.
Oh, my
God. And I was just like, Big D's like, you got to go talk to him. I couldn't. There was no, I can't do that.
We've been together for 20 whatever years. I've never seen him that way ever.
Wow.
I was like a little kid, man.
He was like Carson and was very, oh man, that's wow. He's
look
here.
Look at Bubba. He
will
is you losing it.
You're losing. And so I'm like, dude, just go talk to him. I'm not going to bother him, man. No,
so
he's over there,
gets up
know.
And walks straight to him.
You met Bubba? So,
that's exactly what happened.
Seriously, it's him and Chesney and Dale Jr. And Peyton, and they're all standing there talking. I bust up into their little
world.
World, And I go, Coach, Coach. Of course, you know, he turns his head and I go, hey, Big D and Bubba, Bubba. And I kind of push him up. And the guy, and you know what? He was like, Sean goes, dude, what's going on?
Come to find out, come to find out, he's a huge fan of the show.
Yeah. And so,
and he and his wife at the time, that's like every day taking the kids to school. They listen to us and all that. Yeah. He's like, oh my God. And he starts quoting things that we've done on the show.
And then and I'm like, I walk away.
Crud, this is the most surreal thing ever.
And let Bubba have his little, his little man crush thing.
It was awesome. It was awesome. Cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and then he got me tickets to go to one of the games in London. Whenever I did that London trip, that was his tickets, and we stayed at the team hotel and all that kind of stuff.
Wow, that's
not
cool.
On their ticket. That was just a coincidence. So I ran. It was weird because I started running into him at weird places.
Yeah, yeah. Trust me.
On purpose?
He noticed that.
We would run into him at concerts. You and I were hanging out with Florida Georgia Line and Lee Bryce. Remember Big D? And guess who walks up?
Yeah,
Sean Payton. It's like, what are you doing? It's the off season.
And Jason Aldean,
yeah. Just weird places to run into people.
Wow.
You ever have somebody you were a huge fan of, you met and freaked out a little bit?
Nah.
No?
Never, ever.
Not me either.
When I look in the mirror in the morning, I was like, wow.
Dang it, look at me.
And then it's like, who is going to follow that?
I've had a couple of those. Winona punched me in the arm one time, twice, and it was one
deserved
of my favorite
it?
Moments ever. No, because she walked up, and at this point, this is like 14 years ago, so I had only been doing this for a few years, and I just, man, it's Winona Judd. Like, she walks into a room, and everyone goes, oh, it's Winona Judd. Like, there's no no mistaking it. And so she walked up, and I said, I'm such a huge fan. We're posing for a picture. I said, your solo album was the first CD I ever bought, and she punched the crap out of me and goes, thanks a lot for making me feel old. I went, oh, no, it's not like that. It was when the CD, everything was on cassette and album, and then I bought a CD player, and that was the first CD I went out and bought after I got a CD player. She goes, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were telling me you were young when it was the first CD you ever bought. She goes, how old were you? And I said, I was 12, and she hit me again. So,
and now you have those knuckle marks tattooed on your body.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It is good.
If I ever met Tori Amos, I would become Carson meeting Garth. That would be it.
Patrick,
it
we talked about this, a couple weeks ago on the show. It was weird because Big D and I, we'd never even heard
of Tori
Amos.
Who that is.
Like, if she was singing in front of me, mm-hmm. I would think it was a bar band.
Yeah, no.
I'd be like, who is this?
I would become a puddle of just...
Tori,
oh, my God! It would be like that. It would be just like that.
We looked at her. We looked at her
pictures. She's a redhead. Why can't Tori read?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a band or something she had.
Yeah.
No, she had a band that was named Why Can't Tori Read? Yeah. Which right there I kind of checked out because I go, I can't have a band as a question.
No.
Like, I can't.
I love it so much.
No, good for
you.
That's
the name of the band is Why Can't Tori Read?
Yeah. You know, Why Does Garth Make Me Cry? Not a good band name.
No.
What did she say?
Actually, that's an excellent band name. Why Does Garth Make Me Cry? You literally wouldn't know one song.
Cornflake Girl.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
That's the only one anybody knows.
What is it? How does that go?
She had a song called Cornflake Girl.
I'm telling you, you
and
don't know.
And a band saying,
of it.
Why did she can't read?
This, I think it was
Patrick.
Oh, it's weird. I know it's weird.
No,
I'm not ashamed of it.
A tremendous amount of people worship Tori Amos. Oh, yeah. You're not alone.
No, he is.
I met Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins in a bar in Chicago. It was one of those things where I was on my way to meet friends for like a whole weekend birthday party thing for one of my cousins in Chicago. And I was like, oh, you know what would be cool? Like, we're out at one of these bars. Wouldn't it be crazy if Billy Corgan just walked up because he lives in Chicago? He's one of my heroes. And sure enough, we're standing in the bar, and all of a sudden, I look over. He's like 6'6", so you can't miss him. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's Billy Corgan. And everyone's like, oh, let's go talk to him. No.
You conjured him up?
I did.
Dude, that is awesome.
He's literally later that same night.
How do we know he's
Bring
a wizard?
Garth in. Bring Garth in.
And here's Garth Brooks. No, it doesn't work that way. So, yeah, I couldn't talk to him. It was the same thing. Yeah.
You're the inspiration for those Nationwide commercials. Or is it State Farm? Whichever one where they sing the song and the people pop up.
Yeah.
Something.
Like a Good Neighbor.
Like State Farm. That's it. Yeah.
Written by Barry Manilow.
Oh, my God. Seriously. Why do you know that? Why do you know Barry
because
Manilow?
Because I'm a super Barry fan.
So
he wrote the State Farm insurance song. Yeah.
Okay, so Carson.
Yeah.
You've got Peyton Manning, Barry Manilow, and Garth Brooks in a boat.
And Joe Elliott from Def Leppard.
Oh.
And Joe Elliott from Def Leppard. These
it's
four
a really
guys.
Big boat.
It's a big boat. No, see, it's really not
it's
a big
boat.
That's the problem. They all fell out.
Somebody's got to be saved.
You can only save one.
Oh, gosh.
The other three are going to bloop.
Well, Barry's the oldest and closest to death.
Okay.
So.
He's, I like that logic.
He's lived a very full life.
But I've never met him. But I would think if we were on the boat together, I would have met him, and then he went overboard.
No.
So.
You're not on the boat together.
You're like on the nearby
boat. I just show up upon these four men.
You're in a Coast Guard helicopter.
They're treading
water. You've
got
room for one person.
You can save two of the four. You're going to have time.
How come Tony Dow from Leave It to Beaver wasn't in that boat?
Is that your guy?
Because I saw him one time. He nodded, hey, man, like that. So we sort of bonded.
Yeah.
That was my moment.
That was my Dr. Dre moment. That's exactly what Dr. Dre did to me.
Oh, my God.
He did suck.
You had to
acknowledge. Acknowledged
like,
it. So,
Sting,
yeah.
Sting ignored me. Dr. Dre went suck.
That was your Dre day.
Yep.
It was.
Dre day.
My Dre day. Nice.
All right, let's not get it back away from this.
Okay,
right.
so back on
so
the boat situation.
We're changing this up. Now you can save two of them. You are there. Patrick has conjured you up. You're automatically there.
What is their marital status at this point?
Oh,
they're all single.
They're
all
Manning,
single at this time.
Okay.
Barry Manilow, Joe Elliott from Def Leppard, and one of the monkeys.
Oh, yes. One of the monkeys.
Peyton Manning has the hookup for free pizza.
Which one's your favorite monkey?
Mike.
Okay, so it's Mike.
But I'm not like obsessive about the monkeys the way
Peter
I am about these people.
I don't know. It's
not
hard
Peter
to tell.
I love
more
Peter's fabulous too.
Yeah.
Harambe is my favorite.
Harambe is not.
I'm saving save Harambe.
You better save Harambe.
Save Harambe.
D with the joke of the day, Harambe.
You can't follow that.
No, you can't. But
you
have to.
All right, who are you saving? Who are you saving? You got two of them. Save two.
Wow. Okay. It was Joe, Peyton, Garth, and Barry. Oh boy.
I know the answer. I think I know.
You
the
said
answer.
Barry Manilow is older. Does that mean you're saving him or you're?
No, I probably let him go.
You're gonna let him go. Okay.
Shark bait.
But I've never met him, and I haven't met Peyton. But I've met the other two. But I feel like I'd have a better chance with Garth. So he's definitely getting in the boat.
Okay, so Garth.
What's up, Garth?
Garth.
So.
Alive.
Okay, so now you have one more.
Yeah, I think I got it. Like, I got to keep Joe Elliott on the team because there would be four other members of Def Leppard that would be very upset. And I would,
Peyton Manning.
I thought it was going to be Peyton Manning.
Yeah,
I really did.
Thought
that
it was going to be Peyton. But at the same time.
You have a giant stuffed animal in your office, in your studio, that's named Peyton.
You are really ripping my heart apart here.
So she's got one Peyton already.
I do.
So
that's true.
You know, right. Again, Joe Elliott is part of a team.
See, Garth can keep doing concerts and making music, and so can Joe Elliott. But Peyton is just going to do commercials now. And do we really need that?
Well, do I
really need Lionel Richie to sing Peyton on Sunday morning again for a whole season?
I thought that was pretty clever.
But
here's my other thought process, is that Garth and Joe would owe me because I saved their lives. It would be all access backstage for every show
forever and ever?
Yeah. Uh-huh. See, it's all you got to figure out.
Yes, Your Highness,
that kind
of stuff. Uh-huh.
Like, so yeah, you've just ripped my heart in two.
Well, it's interesting.
let's say Big D, Bubba, Patrick, and Killer Bees were in a boat.
That's right.
And it turned over.
Capsized.
Yep.
Who would you rescue?
Who do you kill first?
Well, I mean, of course, the gentleman.
Who do you throw the chum closest to?
The man to my left, because he is in within hitting distance. Of course, I would save these first. I would save you first.
Well, there you go. Listen, look at that,
Killer. What's going on with you, man? I know that you finished up. You graduated as a moonshiner
and an artisan liquor. Distiller.
Uh-huh.
Partisan liquor distiller.
My guys, the big Mark and Digger, who y'all met, are coming to Zany's tonight to my show.
Sweet.
By the way, let's see now. I retired from bootlegging. I did my one run and sold the stuff, and then to get my street cred, and retired from that. Which was very cool. Last week,
you have to explain, because you told us this on the radio, for those who didn't hear it.
What
did you do once you got that stuff? Once you got my
run of 140 proof corn liquor, which was my third batch, as we call it, of moonshine. That was my graduation batch. Did it in the hills outside of Gatlinburg, Tennessee, at an undisclosed location. I drove home to Mobile, Alabama.
Crossing state lines.
Correct. With four lonely little jars of high-octane moonshine. Got home to Mobile, where I had to first face the music from the lovely Miss Terry, my wife, who goes, "You drove with that in your car?" So I had to go through all that, that whole thing. Yeah. I acted like I had no idea it was in there. Oh, who put this in my vehicle? So I did that. And then I took a jar and sold it to an ex-cop friend of mine. Explained the situation. I go, "Dude, the circle is not complete until I sell this.
I'm not a real bootlegger until I do this."
And he goes, "You know what? I'll do that." And so we did the deal.
Because he's a friend.
He did the deal, and I had a growing spurt, gained 10 pounds on my chest as soon as he handed me the money, stepped out of his the place where we did the deal with a spring in my step, knowing that I now had street cred and had closed the circle and actually bootlegged.
What is
Then I snuck home and retired and hid my stash.
How powerful is 140 proof?
Very. Two swallows is a swallow too much.
Oh yeah.
Actually, you can generally handle two swallows. Boom, boom, you can do that. Then you need to put it away and go sit down somewhere.
Really?
So, yeah. That's 70% of it is pure alcohol. When you're at 140 proof, so you figure two mouthfuls is like two shots of
something.
Of alcohol. I mean, it literally. And the thing is, you don't realize right at first when you're sipping the moonshine that it is taking the cumulative effect on you. So that's one of the rules when you're moonshining is do not taste your product. You taste it as you're making it, spit it out. Do not swallow it, because 10 minutes after you start your quality control process, and it takes an hour or so to make the whole batch run through, 10 minutes later, if you're swallowing it, then you're no good. You know, then you're stupid and impaired. So that is actually one of the rules is you do not swallow. They call it drinking out of the worm. The worm being the coil of copper that goes through the cold water to condensate the vapors back into the actual moonshine.
Is that but that's way stronger than the stuff that you can buy. Well, now nowadays,
Bacardi makes a 151.
Yeah, I don't think it's way stronger. But it's just less. You know, whenever you're doing homemade batches of liquor like that, every batch is going to come out different. Every batch is going to be slightly different, slightly stronger, slightly less,
which is
different tasting.
Which is why their version that comes out of the legal distillery in Gatlinburg, Sugarland Distillery, the version that comes out of there is absolutely the same every batch
single time,
because
it's controlled.
And it is the exact formula. Mark and Digger have a signature flavor. It is rye apple. And it is really, really good. And unlike some places that make the moonshine, they make their little stuff and then pour flavoring in there, they actually distill from rye grain and from apples and mix it together through two different things going into one.
And you can appreciate the artisanship of that. Like, I have a problem right now. Lately, I'm going to go to some of these microbreweries. You can totally tell when they're throwing in caramel flavoring to get the color. It's not, you know, they got an IPA that is just horrific, and everybody's like, "This is the greatest thing ever." You go, that's so.
They take a base formula and add flavorings,
which
is not what these guys do, because it is truly custom.
For those
made.
Who do it right, I absolutely applaud them for going through the real work and the real trouble of making it, because there is an artisanship to it.
There is, dude. There's a lot of physics, a lot of chemistry that goes into that, and it really bears the signature of that maker. You know, it's just like somebody playing guitar or singing a song. They put their own sound and their own feel into it. Well, the same thing when these guys make this stuff. So I was tickled, honored to get to have them as my mentors, you know, and Popcorn Sutton taught them. So there's
That's
a lineage there.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd have never dreamed it.
A racehorse.
Dude, a year ago, I'd have never thought that I had Seattle Slough DNA in the Moonshiner World coursing through my veins. So that is just crazy.
Who knew?
What a lucky break for me, and how much fun, you know.
It's pretty cool.
So there's that.
So well, are you able to now, like, if you're like, you know, like, how long does it take to make it?
Well, you said and about an hour.
Doing everything. Like,
it takes a week to 10 days, depending on the – we did it outside. So the fermentation process is where the waiting period is. That's approximately a week. But depending on what botanicals you're using in your mash and depending the outside temperature, it ferments quicker in the summer because the mixture stays warmer. Making it in the winter. That's why you see on the TV show that there's a season kind of, you know, they do it in the summer because it's warm enough.
Moonshine season is ending is what you're telling us.
Correct. Unless your operation is indoors.
Okay. You can run all the time.
So what are you, okay. So this was obviously a highlight. What is the coolest thing you've ever done? Because of the Killer Bees, the comedian thing, you've made great connections.
The moonshine thing was fun. Last year, I talked to y'all about this when I did the 1,160-yard rifle shot to put the extra round into my mama's old 50-year-old championship target, replica of her target, was a cool one. Went to...
Hanging out on the road with Patrick.
Hanging out with Patrick.
Super cool. Yes.
I'm on an album with the Lynyrd Skynyrd Band.
Really?
Where I just kind of talked some funny stuff. They were my backup band that came out on Columbia Records on an old NASCAR album. We wrote a racing song, and they were my band for that.
Dude, that's so cool.
Dude, just all kinds of stuff, man. You know, learned how to embalm. I've embalmed people.
Really?
I've done that. I've done incisions. I've raised the arteries. I've ligated, meaning to tie off the arteries. I've injected the embalming fluid. I've done the sutures, that kind of stuff.
I watched a movie. It was, I forget the name of it, but one of the scenes showed them embalming someone and where they made a cut at the neck.
Yeah, the right common carotid artery.
And then they.
Yes, that one.
And then they put a tube on it or something like that.
And there is an embalming machine that has a pump.
It has a pump, and it goes up and down, and it looked like pink, looked like antifreeze.
And now here's the thing, too. Embalming fluid comes in different colors because you embalm for two reasons. One, to stop the spread of disease. The other is to restore a lifelike appearance to the body. And so when people die of different reasons and from different conditions, the skin tone has changed. One, the blood is no longer oxygenated. That's why you look pale when you're dead. And so to restore a life-like...
I thought it was just because it settled.
To restore... But the oxygen diffuses out of it.
Oh, okay.
So to... I won't do that part. Anyway, but...
Thank you.
Because people have different complexions in real life, you use a fluid that can go from a light pink almost to a purple. To restore that skin tone.
Oh, so you're using different colors for different people.
Correct.
Correct.
See, and there's different astringencies in case a funeral's not going to be for 2 weeks. You know, you use a stronger.
Do you think they really do that? I don't think they do.
They do that.
I don't think so. Yeah, I think
his
most.
Dad was yeah, an they do. Like,
I'm saying. Really I'm saying. Yeah, that's a reputable place.
You're saying,
some
places. Some
places just go. This is fine. Like, I don't think they're trying to match.
I can't speak to that.
I have no idea.
Yeah, but
about
like 2 years ago, I saw this thing where there were some people that got in trouble because they would. God, what a weird conversation! But they would. Whatchamacallit? Whenever you
embalm them.
No, not embalm. I'm talking about whenever you burn the body.
Cremate.
Yeah, they would cremate the. Thank you. They would cremate the body, and what they were doing is they would actually just get rid of the bodies, and they would give people.
Fake ashes
from other people, like random ashes. And so they got busted and they got in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, and you know, and in any industry, you've got
jackasses
that do that.
But you know, oftentimes the mortician will ask for a picture of the deceased so that they can look at that skin tone and that color.
That is fascinating.
And they try to bring, yeah. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, it's really, you know, it's an act of love trying to,
trying to
your
make
last
them look
at a loved one you know, you want to be the least creepy
yeah.
as you can have it, you know. Sure. So really and truly, it's in addition to, like I said, stopping the spread of disease, it's an act of love to try to restore an aesthetic there that that people that is not harsh to the bereaved.
I don't do funerals and Big D knows this. I don't do funerals and wakes and viewings and all. I just can't. I would much rather remember somebody in a positive, like, hey, the last time I saw so-and-so, we had laughs. It was awesome. I don't want that to ever be replaced by, because I have an uncle of mine that it was probably one of the last viewings I'd been to. I can't ever remember him alive anymore. I only remember that day. I mean, I was younger, but I only remember what he looked like that day in the casket. And I'm just like, you know, I don't want to remember that. And I struggle with that because I know my mom and dad, they're getting old. And I'm like, what do I do when they finally pass? Do I go? Do I not? I mean, I don't want
to. There's totally something to be said for your last vision, your last look at someone being one that is loving and not weird and grief filled. So a lot of people opt to go close caskets because of that. You know, they certainly do. Yeah. And too, you've got to remember that.
So the close casket, that can actually be the choice of the person. I guess I'd never.
Yeah, the family decides that.
Okay.
The family decides
I think that's how I'm going to do it. Because I don't want people to remember me as that.
Yeah, like, you know, you see the movies where somebody's been murdered or half eaten by a bear. And the spouse or whoever comes running up and the cops stop them. No, won't let them go in there. Well, there's a reason for that. That is an act of love. That is keeping that person from having a horrific, tainted memory of that loved one.
Yeah.
You know, and what they see in those situations is not their loved one. That is the remains. Our loved one is that spirit.
The tangible that person God that we would hug us. And hold
yeah.
and
no,
would
no,
make
no.
us
the
laugh.
The intangible. And, oh, yes. Spirit of that person, that is your loved one. So
who they are
yeah,
and not
yeah,
the physical
and
body. Who,
and how they loved you and how you loved them, not the physical body. So it's not as important to see those remains, in my humble opinion, as it is to remember that loving time that you had with them. So, and we tried to keep people from doing that when I worked in the funeral home and in that 911 ambulance. We would try to protect people from those horrific sights so that was not their vivid last memory of
Do you miss being on the ambulance and going on calls?
I miss that excitement, but, dude, I had PTSD for years after that because I was 17 when I started doing it, and they would call us by telephone. And when a phone would ring late at night, that meant something scary and sad and very challenging was about to go down. And so for several years after I quit that job, dude, a phone would ring and I would get anxiety, knotting my stomach. I mean,
knowing I
didn't even work there anymore. So,
sure.
So the first responders, they have a tough gig, dude. They go through stuff that we could never imagine that you have to go through. The sounds, the smells of accidents and wrecks and stuff, dude, it is heavy, heavy, heavy. And so that's just another reason we need to thank our first responders and deal with them in a loving and patient manner.
I love bees, and he's so deep, and this is so meaningful what he's saying, but then all I can hear is him say, smales. And then I'm just starting to giggle.
Dude, that was way too funny for trauma. They were like, dude.
Oh, man.
Woo, look at your leg. Then please stop. You're making me laugh. But it was a great gig.
I bet you were really good at that.
I was good. I learned that I could deal with pressure, and I learned that I could multitask, and I learned about the body giving you tunnel vision when it was important.
What do you mean?
It was when it was important. When I would get, for instance, 1 o'clock in the morning, we go to wreck. We're the first ones there. There's sad, scary moans and groans coming out of this dark wreck, and my job was to run up in there and see what it is and deal with it. That's scary as hell.
Yeah.
That is absolutely.
Because everyone is different. You don't know what.
You don't know
if it's going to be a child. You don't know if it's going to be an elderly person or someone you know.
Exactly. So you get to where because it is important. That's why people do it. They know it's important. And so you are able, your mind protects you, and zeroes in on, bam, stop that bleeding. Not, oh my gosh, listen to that sound. Not, oh my gosh, look around. It is take care of that breathing. Take care of that bleeding. Take care of whatever the deal is. We would extricate people from vehicles. We'd work 30 minutes. We'd finally get them out. We'd deal with them. We'd get them to the hospital and would leave. And my partner and I would not even be able to tell you what color the vehicle was because we were so focused, laser focused, dude, right on getting that job done. And that physical and emotional task is trying on you. It is telling. You know, it is taxing to your
How do you leave a scene like that? You go home, take a shower, and go to sleep.
Yeah, it's hard to do, man. It is hard to do. And so once again, I'll say it, our first responders do Herculean jobs that are way more than just the physical.
Yeah.
Get somebody to have a building or whatever. I mean, there is psychological mayhem, dude, that goes on. And
a lot of first responders are online right now talking about, the tunnel vision thing is real. It's like,
okay, well, good for them, man. And I want y'all to know that I'm not trying to tell secrets or anything. And I love people that do that because I have been there. And it is a very there's way more to it.
There's a weight, but that weight doesn't lift whenever the job is done. It's with you, as you said, forever.
That's when you feel it. That's when the adrenaline goes in. You're like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe
what just
that
happened.
I just saw that. Yeah. But I mean, that's.
Do you think that's what led you to comedy? Because they always say comedy is rooted in pain. And do you think just a lot of the dark, sad things that you'd seen led you to go, you know what? I need some happy. I need to make people laugh. I need to make a difference.
Well, I don't know. I don't know, but I told you the story. I lived in a funeral home when I was 3 years old, and I saw the people coming and going that were crying. And I learned as a toddler when I did silly, funny things, they would quit crying and come smile at me, you know, and that may have something to do with me trying to be funny, but I don't know that I agree with the comedy from pain. I just enjoy making people smile, you know, but it may come from.
Was that smile or smell?
Smile.
Okay, just making sure, because a smell a minute ago.
So the people smile. Yeah, a lot of people smell on their own. But anyway, so just keep in mind, everyone, that our first responders do a lot of work that is between their own ears, you know, and it is full contact.
Man, I'm so glad you said that.
Dude, it is full contact. These men and women, dude, are gladiators, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just see the TV version.
Yeah.
You know,
my friend Kyle is a EMT fireman. And it reminds me, and I'm thinking about it, he and Bees have basically the same personality. They're always happy, always in a good mood, always cracking a joke. But I've seen him turn that tunnel vision on and just go in and fix. I've seen it happen, you know? And it becomes a totally different person. And he can get it done. And then just go right back to, hey, man. You know, just one of the
– yeah.
Just a really great guy that everybody just likes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but man, the focus that comes with that.
Yeah.
And that comes from caring. It's because these men and women know that it matters. Right. That's the whole thing. They know it matters.
Nobody does that job.
And that's why
easy.
They do
that's
that.
For sure.
Hmm. Thanks to Subway for.
and now,
for the
now
autumn,
we're going to read a commercial and then play you an awkward interview between Carson and Garth Brooks. Stay tuned.
Try the new Subway. Try, and I'm going to try to get through this.
I love y'all. I dearly love y'all.
Try the new autumn carved turkey sandwich at Subway. God, you make me feel bad for doing this now.
No, it's our job, man.
No, I know.
Focus. I'm get my tunnel vision.
I don't have tunnel vision. That's my problem. I'm
get
ADD.
DJ tunnel vision.
The delicious.
I've got to play this dedication.
Give Bees the
don't get in my way.
Read it.
Yes. Here, Killer Bees.
I couldn't even tell you the color of that person who called in.
I don't know if that was wheat or white bread. And now this. Try the new autumn carved turkey sandwich at Subway. This delicious sandwich features oven-roasted, thick-cut carved turkey made without artificial preservatives or flavors. Served with a new sweet cranberry mustard sauce and sliced cheddar cheese. All on freshly baked 9-grain wheat bread. That stuff's good for you. Get to Subway for the thick-cut, autumn-carved turkey sandwich today.
Oh, look at that. Great, man.
Yeah, it's really good. Subway's going to be, hey, can we get our spot read in English?
Not English.
That's American.
I can do it in Italian. Try the new autumn-carved turkey sandwich at the Subway.
All right, we want to, if you get a chance, get online after this is all done and follow Killer Bees on all social media. Really, the gateway is your Twitter because you're constantly tweeting.
Right, and Instagram. I like Instagram
And it's also at Killer Bees.
At Killer Bees, B-E-A-Z, because we didn't know any better.
All right, so go and check it out. Thank you, Killer. We love you.
Love you, man. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you, brother.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
And then backwards.
It was the podcast.
I'm sorry. The podcast.
Hi there.
It is a pleasure. Doing good.
To see you.
Carson is with Garth, AT&T Stadium. Hello, Carson.
Hi, Big D and Bubba.
How are you feeling?
I do have Garth sitting across from me.
Yeah.
And my octaves are going up and up and up.
Yes.
That's awesome.
He's running away now.
I am telling you, it is early, early morning, and this woman is gorgeous sitting right across from me. She looks fantastic.
Yeah. And I'm done.
And
absolutely gorgeous. You doing good?
I'm doing good.
That
How
is
are
a
you?
Lovely shade of red on your face right now. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you. You look beautiful.
Yeah,
good
nothing, nothing gets past it. Yeah, it has been an amazing morning. Your new song is out, and the guys, we just played it.
Oh, sweet.
So, baby, let's lay down and dance.
It's just fun.
It's a good time?
Yes, it is.
Yeah?
It is a guaranteed good time.
I love this. This is the best. Garth, I can't
I'm
tell
waiting
you.
Waiting for them to chime in. And
why would we chime in? Carson, this is your thing. Yeah, Garth, she's like, I know you saw the video when we told her that yes. She was going to be hanging with you.
This is,
yeah, and she fell to the floor. She really is, besides Miss Yearwood, she's probably your biggest fan.
You're very sweet. Guys, you'd have been very proud of her last night. She showed up at the party in this stunning blue kind of a dress with perfectly matching shoes and the little frill down the middle.
Oh, my God.
She was gorgeous. She was fantastic.
Garth's the
and
best.
Then I ran away. My biggest fear in life is that I just say something wrong, and then you're like, "What is this girl?" And then I go, "But I love his music.
No,
he can't hate me."
You are such a doll. No, we're having a great time here in Dallas and just enjoying ourselves. We saw each other late last night, and then I don't know what time you got up this morning, but I was up at like 4 and got here, and this is pretty cool. Sitting on the 50-yard line.
Yes, it is so cool.
This is pretty bad. I can't say bad. Well, you know what I'm saying. It's pretty cool. I'm looking at the picture back here, the Jumbotron.
This is the biggest screen I've ever seen in my life. There's a picture of it on my Instagram. That's Carson on air. And I'm not sure I got the entire picture in the shot. It's so amazing.
We actually, Miss Yearwood and I, have a photo of this, just of me, like this in the house, this size, because she wanted it.
Of course. You know what was the coolest thing, and I don't... This is going to sound, like, let's just be honest, I'm a creeper. I saw you walk in this morning, and you came in AT&T Stadium, and everybody was, we've got a lot of other radio folks here. And you walked in, and you just took it all in. I just watched you standing solitaire, looking at the sign, and then you did the 360 and look around. And it's amazing to me that with everything you've done, you still do that.
Oh, amen. I got to tell you, nobody enjoys this ride more than me. It's so much fun, and you know, we have a rule, no pinching in case it is a dream, because you don't want to wake up from this. This is fun, and it's been this way since before you were born. It's just been so sweet. Everybody just takes care of you. They take care of the music, and the setup they got here is first class, more than I deserve, but this is pretty cool to see your name around here.
It is. Speaking of stuff your name is attached to and coming up, on AT&T, on the networks, you're going to do the Yankee Stadium show.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about New York City, because I was at Central Park.
Oh, you were?
Oh, I didn't see you. I saw the Jumbotron.
Right.
But that's all right. It was me and a million of my close. I was with my mom and my brother. God bless you, sir. No, I was not four. I always say it was a million of my closest friends singing along to Garth, and it was amazing. So New York City, just between Central Park and now Yankee Stadium, these are massive things, especially for the country world, to be up there and doing it. Like, what can we expect from Yankee Stadium without giving too much away?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I saw the footage for the first time last week. First time. This 4K stuff is unbelievable. It's like you're standing right there. Spoiler alert, I did not have the highlight of the show. The Queen stole that show. Yankee Stadium, I mean, and forget about country. You say big for country. Country music's got a larger format and larger audience than any other genre of music. It's got the most loyal listeners. They showed up in Yankee Stadium, and they showed up great. And half the show, I'm going to say at least half of it, is them, because they were so entertaining. It was fabulous. Can't wait for people to see this one.
That's going to be a good time. Now, I do have to mention the Garth jar.
Yes.
Big D and Bubba have the Garth jar.
Okay.
We are counting the days until you come to the studio, which, you know, you're more than welcome, but I'm fine because I'm here. So y'all are
Patrick,
on your own.
What's the Garth jar up to now?
We have a total of
2,670. Is in the Garth jar now.
Now, I'm not going to...
2,670 days since we started this mission.
Right. Okay. All right. That's a long time.
I like it. Boys, you kind of made a technical error, though, by sending your best person here. Now, I've actually got my fix now.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. This is really cool. You know what I'm enjoying, Carson? I'm enjoying having you, because you really are, like... Sometimes radio people can get kind of radio-y. You know what I mean? They're jaded.
I am not.
You're not jaded. That's the best.
I can't even make eye contact with Garth. Are you kidding me?
It's the best.
It's like Patrick
like
on a date.
Him. He's there.
Okay, I tell you what. Let's take this over. It's the Big D, Bubba, and Garth show. Carson is our guest.
Yes. Right.
Carson, I hear that you're a big Garth Brooks music fan.
Yes.
Why?
Your music moves me. It changed my life. If it wasn't for Garth Brooks, I would never have started listening to country music. And that's it.
You're very sweet. Now, where are you from?
Connecticut.
And wow.
Wow. I saw this guy in a cowboy hat swinging on ladders.
Right.
And there's this song, Friends in Low Places. And I was like, you know, I like Kiss and I like Def Leppard. And he's kind of doing the stuff they do. And then I started listening to music, and I go, whoa, he gets deep. Like, it wasn't just, you know, Friends in Low Places. And then In Pieces came out, and One Night a Day was the anthem of my high school year.
Oh,
I know.
Sweet.
Yes, and then you played saxophone on stage, and it was amazing. See, they bet me $10 that I would Chris Farley it, and totally Chris Farley.
You almost did.
You almost did.
So close.
So close.
So that's why, because this is why I didn't want to speak to you last night, because I will just verbally vomit everything about how wonderful you are.
You are fantastic. I can do this all morning long.
Garth, you remember that? You remember the time that you were
you were in Central Park?
That was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, no, and that was when I interviewed with Big D and Bubba, who didn't know me. God bless him, took a chance, and I just started talking about you, and they're like, so who's your favorite? I'm like, Garth. Oh, really? How many times have you seen him? You probably don't want to know the answer to that.
No, you must tell.
You have to tell.
How many times, Garth?
At least 20-something.
Really?
Yeah. I did.
Have you had a favorite of all that?
Yes. I saw you the last show you did in Buffalo, and somebody held up a sign that said, please come back. And you started tearing up saying,
I
didn't even know if you wanted me in the first place. And I'm crying, and you're crying, and everybody in the place is crying.
No, I can
do you remember that?
I can make it weirder, Garth. I'm gonna make it weirder.
Would
Carson,
you stop?
No, no. Carson remembers specific times that you pointed to her in the front row of concerts. More than once, because she was wearing specific T-shirts.
I want to crawl under the table.
No, it's great, Carson. That's what do you want? That's the best.
I was wearing a Garth, obviously. I was wearing a Central Park T-shirt.
Right.
You pointed and gave me the little pat. I was wearing a Chris Ledoux T-shirt one night because I was very fortunate to get see him in Nashville in 2004. So that was obviously a highlight. And then I made you a sign one night. and you pointed at it.
Very
and
sweet.
Yes, so
I tell you what, anytime you want to lead these guys, start your own show, I'll be your first guest. All right.
All right.
Oh, that's awesome.
Country with Carson.
Country with Carson.
Thank you so much for indulging me this morning.
I love you. That's a perfect way to start the day. Thank you again for the party last night. You were aces, and thanks for all the shows, and thanks for hearing the music. That's
yes.
the coolest part. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Okay, bye. And everybody, go pick up Baby Let's Lay Down and Dance. I think you have to, no, don't you have to buy like Fritos and you can get the song? Is that how it works?
Yes, yes. Pick up a bag of Fritos and you will get the code. I already downloaded mine last night on GhostTunes.
Carson, really? You mm-hmm. did great. So proud of you. Way to go, girl.
Go take another selfie.
Later.
Bye. See you guys.